Do you have recruiting issues when you're looking for volunteers?
We've, the past couple of years, limited the class to 10 people.
So it's your choice to actually not, have you had more people that have wanted to participate?
That hasn't always,
no.
always been the case.
It hasn't been the case. No, I'm saying the past couple of years.
Right, but we're kind of looking at the past couple of years right now of EMS going down, and you're having actually to turn personnel away at the door.
Not large numbers by any means, but
still, yeah, gotcha.
So Pam, a couple of questions. One, you said you started in 2013.
Yes.
Were you? I don't know, maybe Brad knows this question better. At one point, they didn't run shifts. It was come one, come all to a call, and there never seemed to be a problem with the number of EMTs. Matter of fact, there's always too many EMTs on a scene sometimes. And then they and I don't know when they made that shift, but they went to shifting and assigning EMTs to different shifts. And since that time, I don't know if you were there prior to or thereafter. If you had a sense if the number of EMTs responding has dropped, and has that had an effect on morale? And then the second piece is, what's your perception if I get fire, if they were to merge, there's about four or five fire EMTs that work for the district. So, I mean, obviously you're the chief.
20% of our people are across the
district. Right. So you would have more opportunity. I mean, would that address some of the shifting issues or problems with staffing if you had that access to additional personnel that were full-time? I mean, I know that they're doing other duties, but they are firefighter EMTs, and as you said, their first priority is to respond to the public if there's a need. So two questions there.
Okay, first question, yes, I was there when the change was made to shifting, and that was a result of Dr. Sullivan's wanting that to happen, to have the shifting. And it was hard, it's still hard. I'm not involved, making the shifts.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not involved in that, but going to the training at nine, and when that occurred, it was a big change in the way the calls, people showed up. But it was mandated by Dr. Sullivan that would be better for the way the EMTs and EMS would get out the door.
And his perception of that was, why?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Okay.
And let's see the second part.
The second part was about having access to more trained EMTs essentially during the day.
That has been an area that I've heard talked about, that this would be one aspect that could help that area. But I'm not a EMS medical administrator of
fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would have to defer to Chief Martin and Chief
Reese. Okay. Do you have a sense of the relationship between EMS and medical staff at Peace Health, particularly in the emergency department? Is that is there? Are they working well together? Is that relationship, that seems really important and really critical just on the healthcare services side.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see issues there, or is that pretty steady, or can you speak to that at all?
Well, like I say, I'm not in that on that aspect either. I do know that the paramedics go out, the EMTs go out, the ambulance, do what they're supposed to do, get the ambulance to PIMC, and they work they changed patient to care to PIMC, and I don't, I say I'm not privy to those calls. In fact, I'm HIPAA, I don't. Sometimes I'm in the building and I hear a call, you know, I see the ambulance go over, but that's not in that. So. Couldn't give you a good full answer.
Sure.
I've been talking to paramedics, EMTs, and the staff at PIMC. Give you a better sense.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions? I mean, we've got some documents here to review, which we're happy to do.
Last meeting, we talked about the issue going on in Skagit Valley, EMS. And I talked with one friend, talked with another friend who worked with them over there. And I asked her, she's a paramedic, RN, worked in Skagit Hospital, worked in the med flights, all that business. So she'd been a long time. What's your sense of what's going on over here? First thing that she talked about was the hospital one did not want to carry that liability and risk of having paramedics under their umbrella. Has there been any, you know, there's only one person's opinion, but Peace Health, do they have any concerns of the liability and risk of having the paramedics in that system under their umbrella? Under the hospital district. Because they were, you know, we're trying to answer this, trying to understand why they were coming under the hospital wing and Skagit and going back to their fire departments. And one of the issues was that the hospital district was concerned about liability and having them under their wing umbrella. Is there any concern like that at all?
I haven't heard that concern here. Of course, the hospital district, we have our insurance policy for district operation side, and EMS has a full range and umbrella of insurance on that side. But it's always, since I moved to the island in 2005. I started working for Inter Island Medical Center, I guess in April and of 2005. And that's all I've known is how EMS has always been in the hospital district from where I've worked, and I've not particularly heard that.
I guess the last question for me would be, in your, you know, from your perspective, well, how would you look at this opportunity of either melding with fire or the, you know, the other option at least would be standalone? What would be your perspective of that, or what would be your perspective as the hospital district's, director, executive director?
That's a hard question. Like I say, I'm not speaking for my board, I'm not speaking, but as the superintendent and the CEO of the hospital district, I look at the total overview of the hospital district, and if it's carrying out its mission that it was mandated for, and looking at EMS over all, I'm not the chief of EMS, so I don't do the day-to-day operations for that, and I would not be qualified to do that. I'm not a medical professional. I think it has to do with where EMS and where Spire, I mean, if that if this is the right time to do that move. I know, before I got here to the island, on the way back, you know, fire and EMS. EMS was under fire, but I think it's an individual timing of looking at the problem, and it has to be looked at through all the different scenarios. Whether I know when there's the flow chart of the possibilities of if EMS, just the simple version, if EMS went under fire and took the property tax revenue from EMS, did a subsidy agreement like we did with PIMC, and the property tax would just go underneath that. And then there's the bigger, then the next step up in the annexing, and I don't understand all of that, and the town and like that. So it's something that I think you need to have experts that have been dealing with these kinds of moves back and forth, and have them.
But at least from your,
I can't from my limited.
Maybe not in the detail of it, but at least from your perspective, do you see it as a positive? Do you see it as a negative? And
I can see it as a positive if both organizations can see it as a positive and see the workings. And by the time when you get finished with whatever that vision is, the two working together and what is set, that it's centered on what's best for the community and the health of the island residents and how they see it. If the community doesn't see it as a positive, and both organizations are not working together and see it as positive, then I would say it's a negative. But it could be a positive, depending on what form the
so you may not
merger want is, and what, you know, what the details right. are.
Yeah, so you may not want to answer this, or may not feel comfortable in answering it, but it was initiated by EMS. Do you perceive that the EMS system, the EMS board, the EMS management is really in favor of this moving forward?
From what I see outside, I think they are. And I think they are looking at what is best for the community, patient care-wise. There are things, and I think you've heard them from Chief Martin and all, that when you try to go out for grants and specific things, such as the defibrillators and a lot of the capital equipment that EMS has, you cannot get the grants in numbers like they are underneath the fire. Underneath fire, there are a lot more grants out there
that
you can apply for.
I've seen that because
I've been financial coordinator on two large grants in the hospital district, and so I've worked with HRSA quite extensively and looked at their lists and things, and that is true. You know, it depends on what you want the grant for, and there are grants that you can get with EMS under the hospital district, but there are a lot of grants where you're just not eligible to apply for them.
And anything within the hospital district that you would see as a hurdle to this or as a benefit? I know there's a lot of external issues that we're kind of sorting through, but anything internal to the hospital district that you see that either is a huge hurdle to try to get over or not?
Or maybe to answer Rick's question, is there anything in this discussion that you think would be a nightmare or a real problem?
Well, I think it's going to be the reorganization of if EMS did leave and all of what the hospital district picks up and what the community, you know, wants to do that. It's not a nightmare. I don't say it's a nightmare. I see it as a great opportunity, but it will be complicated, and it will require that the board, myself, Nathan, that we all spend a lot of time with what that might be, and spend time with the community, getting their ideas of what they want us as the hospital district to concentrate on if the EMS went too far.
I have a couple of thoughts that I'm hearing. One is, it's easy to see why you might be confused about how this whole change would come about. None of us have a clue, really. I mean, we know some of the pieces. Merging, you know, Friday Harbor into the fire district, dissolving ENS because it's not an overlapping district with the fire district. And
right.
All of that takes at least a couple of ballot measures. It's a vote of the people. Maybe two or three votes of the people to make this happen. So reflecting on the fact that the last EMS levy was particularly difficult to get passed, taking a few shots at it, in fact, before it actually did get passed, the first time that's ever been a problem for EMS. Would you like to reflect on why it was such a problem for EMS levy to get passed, what the public perception about that might be, and would that carry over into doing any of these things that we would need to do with the ballot measures to come?
Actually, a great question.
Thank you.
I think in my own perspective.
Yeah, this is all your perspective. You're not speaking for the board.
I'm not speaking. That the very first time that the measure was put on the ballot, and that I don't think there the communication and the material out and education to the public was you know, hit what it needed to hit for the public, what they wanted to see, what they, you know, needed to see all the different things. And I think once you know your first impression and your first material out there, that's you know that's strong. And I think it just fell short, flat, and then the material and the letter, but people just remembered the first, and there wasn't a good education campaign that changed, and that the public trusted that. Okay, yes, this is the true information. I think that was the biggest mistake, that the time and maybe even some money into a consultant to look at some things first before putting such an important thing on the ballot, and that they just wasn't ready that first time. They never recovered from that a second time. And then they got a very strong levy committee with a lot of good community people with different backgrounds and really spent a lot of time and a lot of energy in asking what the public, you know, wanted to see and making sure that the information was correct. And then at that time it passed, because that was all done, and it was done beforehand and had the big committee and the, you know.
So would you say that EMS has passed whatever negativity might have carried on in that in the course of trying to pass that, because there was obviously.
Well, I think you're
in the public.
You're rather always of still having some people out there that, you know, that are negative, but I think that there again, if you're whatever you take to the public, you needs to really think about, analyze it, get some public input or something. I mean, it's because it's got to be correct and hit what the public wants to see and feel that first time, because I don't think you're going to get a second time at it. That's why I think having this committee with all of you and really diving into each component of this and talking to as many people that are familiar with this type of thing as you can, and getting expertise and really understanding and knowing what the public wants to see and is going to value and hear that first time.
We used to say the political business that there was a 30% no vote for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, yes, clean air, 30% no. Dirty air, 30% no. Doing nothing, 30% no. 30% no. So, by the way, thank you for that. Yeah. Well, great. I think that was very helpful for us, and I really appreciate it. And would appreciate it if we, as we go down this road, we may ask for a little bit more information, or maybe have you come back and
yeah, like I say, I didn't know what you guys wanted to hear. So that would be welcome. If you want something specific, yeah, just let me know, or let Nathan know, and I'll get the information to you.
Thank you.
You had an earlier question about liabilities. I went over the liability insurance factor today. They have a 1-3 occurrence policy, which means anything that happens today that could be a liability is covered by that premium already. Then they have a 612 over. It's both claims made in an occurrence, which doesn't seem right to me, but that's what the insurance policy says. They have it all through one group down in Covington, the series of brokers covering all of their insurance needs.
And this is for all liabilities.
Okay. This is for property, this is for employee, this is professional, fire, hurricane, all that. I don't know, I didn't have time today to get into too deeply to see what reporting duties are, if there's hidden liabilities under reporting duties that aren't covered by protocols. But that's all available at the office. I plan on looking at it again, because that's a concern that I have. But, you know, it's like the Title 17 is selling a house. You know, you should expose these things before you sell the house, or it doesn't come, long story. But anyway, to answer that question that you had earlier, it's available. There's even a disc down there. I didn't have a computer to start the disc at. Did you break or whatever? Paper. Yeah, but it's there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Warren, do you happen to know if there's nose and tail insurance issues like there is in the medical provider field?
Well,
for
the
EMS?
You seem to have the occurrence, and I don't know if they've had the occurrence in a long time. It would cover everything that happened all those days along. But during that big crisis, they started doing claims made policies because they were cheaper. So they only covered the claims made during that time, but then you had to have a tail at the end
right.
of it.
Well, that's why
to cover yourself.
If EMS leaves the hospital district, the hospital district need to buy tail insurance to cover whatever they did while they had EMS. That's
right.
My
but right now they have occurrence insurance that does cover them.
Okay.
For what's going on now.
Yeah.
Why they have a claims made doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I would have to ask the brokers why that is.
Well, there are a lot of questions and gets into
the detail. Yeah, right, but it just doesn't, but right now it's an occurrence, so that everything that's happening today is covered, and everything would happen up until they transfer on a continuing.
Well, the implication of that is that the fire district would have to buy nose insurance, and hospital district would have to buy tail insurance once that transition happens.
Basically, the two budgets are trying to put a three-pronged socket into.
It's not a big deal.
A non-grounded socket. It doesn't add up, it has to rewire something.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway. But I'm gonna
just another cost.
I'm gonna go have a beer.
Just more money.
Oh, and I have to tell you, I think I was the person that started this with my motion, so if you're.
Well, thanks.
That's why we're not having a beer.
I think you owe us a beer.
That's the way I see that.
And at Haley's till 9.
I'll keep that in mind. We should be right.
Right?
Is that a motion for adjournment?
Well, thank you for the presentation, Pam.
Thank you.
See you, Warren.
Very helpful. And thanks for being out. Thanks, Pam. Excellent. Well, I think the next part of our agenda, what we talk about doing, is starting to begin either to actually begin the work or at least start to talk through what we want to do for essentially, I think, Rick, you called sort of a whiteboard session. So we're going to start to think about maybe categories of all of the possibilities we're looking at or what exists, not what we're looking at, what may exist, and then starting to break those down a little bit. I think that was kind of the general discussion we began to have. And how do we want to approach this? Either starting tonight or at least talking through it and setting it up for our next session.
Sure.
I saw that word whiteboard on there. I had a moment of panic. Was I supposed to get a whiteboard tonight? I thought
you were doing that
next week.
Yes, you've epically failed.
We're
going to the walls now.
Yeah. We're going to do a team building exercise. We're going to make one out of
all right.
So certain materials that we find.
It's paper
so if you don't mind turning around, where do you keep the thumbtacks?
We could have a permanent marker? Oh, man. So, Rick, you kind of helped kind of get us going on this road. Do you have some thoughts and ideas?
Well, I guess I go back to the initial premise is that this was a request to look at the, you know, consolidation, a merger of EMS and fire. So, you know, the question is, do we limit it to that, or do we look at what is best for EMS, and then how do we start framing it? The other, you know, some of the other things is we've had an opportunity to speak with Chief Creasy from fire, Chief Martin from EMS, Duncan Wilson from city. Do we need to and want to speak with other individuals to start to get a perspective? And then how do we want to start framing this to, I mean, and what are our ideas? Because I, you know, that could be this big, and how do we start to get them down to where they start to have some a semblance on a piece of paper of good thought process and so forth. So.
You know, I think, I mean, just the way you began it was really important, because I think one of the most important things we said kind of right out of the gate as we were beginning to get organized is we didn't feel necessarily constrained with just that narrow question of consolidation, that we really have an opportunity to kind of look at this holistically and not feel constrained by that. I mean, I think we're touching on some other areas that are broader, and I think that's a good thing.
And we also agreed that the prime motive should be best for the community.
Right.
What makes for better service to the community?
Right. Whatever that is.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah.
You know, if it can be improved or be made more efficient or less expensive, or whatever, that makes sense. But otherwise, there's no need to do it. So. That was a criteria.
And then, quite frankly, I think, you know, just to start to get a feel of where we are individually, observations and perceptions of the individuals we've spoken with, and, you know, where's that channeling each one of us? Not to pigeon, you know, kind of hole us into anything, but just to kind of start to get a perspective. Because I'm not quite certain.
This is the moment when you're on jury duty you're not allowed to have, because you keep wondering if you're in a trial. Mm-hmm. I wonder what everybody else is thinking right now. I wish we could just kind of stop the clock and we kind of start to talk about it.
Right, and yeah, and it's the same way with like I did a number of National Transportation Safety Board investigations, and it's like, you know, don't get yourself locked into one thing, because that's where it drives you down, and there could be so many other pieces that need to come in. And you know, the reality was is that you had an initial perception, and after the investigation, I mean, it was completely in some other you know, some other direction. So where do we stand? What are our thoughts?